Friday the 22nd of June, Rabbi Yehoshua Hartman, the Chet of Mei Merigo.
Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi. Today what I would like to do is to focus on the words of Rashi and to show how, why Rashi is Rashi through the Chet Mei Merigo, Rashi's wording. As we know, according to Rashi's Shita, the Chet of Moshe Rabbeinu was that instead of speaking to the rock, he hit the rock. And what happened was he hit initially the wrong rock, and then only drops came out, and then he hit a second time the right rock, and then the water came out. The Ramban's question on Rashi is, it would have been just as much of a nest if you hit the rock and it produces water, than if you speak to the rock and it produces water. They're both unbelievable missing. So why hitting the rock is so terrible, and speaking to the rock is so beautiful? But Rashi himself really answers that question by saying, what is the chet of Moshe Rabbeinu? So Rashi in Bamidbar, in this week's Parasha, Perek Chof, Pasuk Yudbeis says, the Pasuk says, Yan lo imanti bilag disheni, you did not believe me to sanctify my name. Says Rashi, Shilu dibalti malasel of a hoisi, if you would have spoken to the rock and it would have produced the water, Hayiti mekudash le'ein e'eda, my name would have been sanctified in the eyes of the people. For Omim, and they would have said, Masel azeh, if this rock, She'eno medaber, ve'eno shomea, ve'eno tzarech lapanasa, does not talk, does not listen, and does not need sustainment. Mekayim dibur shel makom, fulfills the word of Hashem, kal v'chomer anu, how much more for us? So meaning, if but now that Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock, there's no more such a kind of kal v'chomer. Why not? I could still say the kal v'chomer, but the kal v'chomer will be, if a rock which doesn't talk and doesn't listen and doesn't need panasa, listens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu once he gets hit, so we should also listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu once we get hit. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to listen before we get hit. So that kal v'chomer is now out of the window. But if Moshe Rabbeinu would have spoken to the rock, there would have been a beautiful kal v'chomer. And the Jewish people would have said, if a rock is eino medaber, the eino shomea, the eino tzarech l'panasa, and he yet listens to Hashem, to the speech of Hashem, how much more so we should also listen to the speech of Hashem. That's what Rashi says. Before we go on, I just want to focus a little bit on this Rashi. If I would make the following kal v'chomer, if a rock doesn't wear glasses and he yet listens to Hashem, we that would wear glasses, how much more so we should listen to Hashem? Is that called a good kal v'chomer? No, why not? Because glasses have nothing to do with listening to Hashem. If a rock which doesn't wear pants listens to Hashem, we that would wear pants, how much more so we should listen to Hashem? That's ridiculous. Why is that ridiculous? Because glasses or pants is not a reason to listen. Why ledaber is a reason to listen? The other two I understand. A rock doesn't need breakfast, lunch, and supper, and yet listens to Hashem. We that we need breakfast, lunch, and supper, and a tea break in the middle, how much more so we should listen to Hashem? If the rock doesn't have ears to listen, and yet follows the word of Hashem, we that we have the capacity of hearing, how much more so we should follow the ways of Hashem? But a rock doesn't talk and listens. We that we talk, how much more so we should listen? Why is talk the reason to listen? Abba, they say to people sometimes that they're so busy talking, they don't have a time to listen. So why is dibur a reason for listening? Why is it better than glasses and pants? But obviously because dibur is a manifestation of das, right? What's unique about Adam is he's a badas and he's a medaber. You see in the Adair Zemuna, L'chai Elomi, Mabina Vabroch, L'chai Elomi, goes according to the Alvay, and then Adair V'hadibur, L'chai Elomi. Dea and dibur go hand in hand. Medically, if someone comes to show me has a stroke, one of the first things that usually goes is speech. Dibur is a bitui, a manifestation of das. So the kal v'chomer is, if a rock doesn't have das, and he yet listens to Hashem, we that we have das, how much more so we should listen to Hashem. Dibur, change the words between dibur and das. Room still to think, how come Rashi didn't say das then? Why did he say dibur? If dibur is das, so call a spade a spade. That will leave Hashem for the next Torah way, Be'ezrat Hashem. Now, let's go a little bit weiter. Why does Rashi need a three components for his kal v'chomer? One's not enough? How much more so we should also listen to Hashem? You need one won't be enough? The kal v'chomer from panasa is this genug? Or the kal v'chomer from shamea is not enough? You need three? And once you have three, maybe you have five. I mean, I could come up with a few more. A rock is never sick. And yet, listen to Hashem, we that Chas Hashem can become sick. I mean, if you want to make comparisons between people and rocks, Mistami could come up more than three. And what's the need for three? a kal v'chomer, it's enough to say one. So why is Rashi saying all three? Again, Rabbi Yisrael, this is just a search from the Torah of the Maharal, that people are composed from three components. We have three layers in our essence. And Rashi is making a kal v'chomer for every layer. We are made from guf, we are made from nefesh, and we are made from das, with the Maharal called seichel. And Rashi is making a kal v'chomer that each level that we have should be following Ratzon Hashem. And all three would be learned from the Rashi. The guf has to do with parnasa, obviously that's eating. Shmia has to do with nefesh, just meanwhile I'll take my word for it. And dibur has to do with das, as we said before. Rashi is saying three kal v'chomers to address the three parts that we have. Guf, nefesh, and das. Very good. Let's go on just one more nekuda on regarding this kal v'chomer. I got a pirch on the kal v'chomer. We have a yetzahara. Rocks don't. So what are you telling me I should follow the rock? A rock, ain't no medava, ain't no shemav, ain't no circle parnasa. He listens to Hashem. We, how much more so? But a rock doesn't have yetzahara. We do. Doesn't that uproot the whole kal v'chomer? We have a yetzahara. Sorry. A rock don't. So we have a component in us which tells us not to listen to Hashem. Now this question you could ask not only in this Rashi, that Nabi Yishayahu says, Yada shor koneu v'chamur avuz v'alav, that we should learn from animals. Yeah, but we have a yetzahara. Animals don't. Rabbi says, not a kasha. It's true we have a yetzahara, but yetzahara is not, there's nothing logical about it. A yetzahara, when it takes control of us, we are temporarily insane. Chazal say, en adam choyte, en adam ken nichnasa bo ruach shtus. Kavachom is built on seichel. What's the yetzahara? It's sometimes almost out seichel. Okay, but I'm making kavachom based on logic. Hi, there's a component in us which is illogical, that's yetzahara, that does not approve logic. I'm speaking from the logical point of view. From the logical point of view, we definitely should follow Ratzon Hashem, a kal v'chomer from Iraq. Hi, we have something within us which is totally illogical, that will not uproot a kal v'chomer which is built on logic. We just gotta make sure that we'll always be logical. Fine. Okay, that's the Rashi in this week's Pasha. Good. Now, Chetne HaMeriva has mentioned one more place in the Torah. And so, Pasha Zazino. Over there it says in Joram, Paraglam, and Beth, Pasha, and Aleph, Allah Shem Ma'altim, B'Yibatoch B'nei Yisrael, and again, because you rebelled against me, B'Yibatoch B'nei Yisrael, Asher Loki Dashmati, B'Yibatoch B'nei Yisrael. And also over there, Rashi says, Allah Shem Ma'altim, says Rashi, Garamtim Lim Olbi, you caused them to rebel against me. Allah Shem Loki Dashmati, says Rashi, Garamtim Shalom Et Kadesh. I told you to speak to the Sela, very cool, and they hit it. They had to hit it twice. And if they would have spoken to him and without hitting it, the name of a Kaddish Baruch would have been sanctified. The Jewish people would have said a Kavachomer. What Kavachomer? This rock which does not reward and does not get punished. Im zocha eino matan schar. If he has the merit, he does not get the schar. Im chota eino loke. Kach mekayim mitzvas boro. Ano lokosikein? How much more so? If the rock doesn't get schar v'onesh, and it listens to Hashem. We, that we get schar v'onesh, why don't we? Of course we should listen to Hashem. Now, Rabbi, when you compare the two Rashis, the obvious question is, why did Rashi change the kal v'chomer? The kal v'chomer in Pashas Chukas is, from what? Ain't no medaber, the ain't no shomer, the ain't no tzarech lapanosa. The kal v'chomer in Pashas Hazino is schar v'onesh. Both are great kal v'chomers, both are very Jewish, and both are kishmak. But why change? Why are you changing them? Now, I'll tell you what I say. I have a special chiba to the Dvar Torah I'm going to tell you today, because this was the first one I ever came up with when I was a youngster. I started this, when I was 18, 19, I started to get into a little bit of Chumash Rashi, and I remember what Pashas Lukas, with you now. When I was 18, 19, you know, like the old people say, before the war. There was a few words, meanwhile, I could say before the war. I sure looked up in Farshi Rashi. And this, you know how many Farshi Rashi are? I went especially to the Hebrew University, over there, library, that they have all this form ever written. You know how many commentators have written in Rashi? Printed, not manuscripts. 326. This was 20 years ago. I looked in the top 15. I can't say I looked in all 326. The first one, of course, is Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi, the Ra'am. The second one is the Gerai of the Maral. The third one is the Dibur Dovid of the Taz, etc., etc. No one asks Kasha. How can Rashi change the Kavachomer? Or maybe the kasha fastens on, like the finish. Maybe the kasha doesn't start, which is via me. I don't know, but let's call that question number one. Why did Rashi switch the kavuchonis? They're both good, they're both gevaldik, but why switch? That's question number one. But there's, I think, something very geschmack here. Let's go on. I want to ask another two questions on this Rashi in Parshas Ha'azino. Rashi says, Garamtem lim'ol bi, you caused them to rebel against me. How? The Jewish people were not aware of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was told first to speak, and instead of a hit. We don't know what happened behind the scenes. The Medrash says something, my Medrash says in the beginning of the Torah, that if someone stood right next to Moshe Rabbeinu when he got his Vayashem, he would have heard it. You know, like today we have a Walkman, we can understand it. You could listen to someone next, he doesn't. We were not aware that Moshe Rabbeinu was told A, and he did B. We see Moshe Rabbeinu doing B. By the way, it's not the first time he did it. He did it by the Mara Alta. That's another question of the Ramban. Garamtem lim'ol bi? You caused a damage that they were rebelling against me? I understand. You caused that there won't be Kiddush Hashem. That I understand. Because if you would have spoken to the rock, there would have been a beautiful Kiddush Hashem. You could have done it better, but you caused, but you did something wrong? Garamtem lim'ol bi? Ila is a very serious avera. Why? Hitting the rock is also a bigness. And they're not aware that he was told differently. So where's the damage? I understand there's a lack of a plus. But why is there a minus? That's question. The pasuk says it again. Hashem ma'alvi. It goes back to the pasuk. But what does that mean? I want to ask one more question on this Rashi. Rashi points out they hit me cool. They hit the rock. And they had to hit the rock twice. Now, Rabbi said that's the truth. Those are the facts. They hit the rock twice. But is that a difference vis-a-vis Moshe Rabbeinu's avera? Regarding Moshe Rabbeinu's avera, it doesn't make a difference if they hit it once or twice. Just imagine if they would have hit it once and all the water would have come out. You have the same problem, which is, why didn't you speak to the rock? If you would have spoken to the rock, it would have been such a beautiful kavuchomer. And now you blew it. The fact that they hit it once or twice, mach nishtoris, doesn't make any difference. It's true they hit it twice. But let's say if they would have hit it only once, would it have been any better? No. You would have had the same problem. Because Moshe Rabbeinu's avera is not because of what he did, rather because of what he didn't do. Why did you speak to the rock? If you would have spoken to the rock, there would have been such a beautiful kavuchomer. Why didn't you do that? That they hit it once or twice doesn't make enough kamina. So why does Rashi mention in Parshas Ha'azino something which he did not mention in our Parsha, that part and parcel of their avera is that they hit it twice? Advifo, like you say in Yeshivas. How would you say that in English? Advifo. Huh? As much as regarding, whatever, regarding the avera of Moshe Rabbeinu, it won't make a difference if they hit it once or twice. Because the avera is, why didn't you speak to it? It would have been such a beautiful Kiddush Hashem. That's the avera. So why does Rashi point out the Hemetzuchula Kutotamai? So I said, we have three questions. After the, again, the first part of our share was just a bunch of little questions in Rashi's Kavachomer. That's one Nekuda. And then now it's Erev Shabbos. You can divide this by Torah according to the Suda. So the first part that we spoke about, that's for the gefilte fish. You know, like the beginning. You know, the kavachomer, why do you need a three-way kavachomer? Why is medaber kavachomer? What about your sahara? That's the gefilte fish. And then comes here the questions regarding, that's the next stage of the soup, which is we have here three questions on this Rashi. Question number one, why does he say, let's do the other one. Why did he change the kavachomer? Question number two, why is he saying, you caused them to rebel against me? Based on what? On what grounds are you saying that? We're not aware what happened behind the scenes. And question number three is, why is Rashi pointing out that they hit it twice? So now let's go to the meat. Okay? Scratch. I want to point out to you, is that good? Rashi, in another place, in Parshas Nitzavim, where over there he also uses the yardstick of Schar Ba'Onesh, and this will be a Mitzvah Shem key to what we're talking about. And the Parshas Nitzavim, Perek Lamed Pasuk Yutes, it says, I'm testifying to you that I'm taking as witnesses the Shemayim Ba'aretz. Says Rashi over there, what do you want from Shemayim Ba'aretz? So says Rashi, Amar lema kodesh bochul Yisrael, Yistaklu b'shemayim shebarati l'shamash Hashem. Look at the heaven which I have created to serve you. Shema shinut midasam, did the Shemayim ever change its conduct? Did it ever happen that the sun did not rise one day? You know, I'm from Hasmo. Did it ever happen that the son bunked? You know, it didn't show up one day. One day, we're not showing up. Why? Tired. Did it ever happen? The sun's there. It's the clouds. It was covering it. Right? He's the kluba art shabrati the shamash Hashem. Look at the land which I created to serve you. Shema shintami dasa. Did it ever change its conduct? Shema zaratim otavodot samcha. Or shema zaratim chitim ve'elta sorim. Did you ever plow wheat and produce barley? Never. It just does what it's told. Uma elu shina'asu lo leschar ve'lo lehefzet. Im zoichim ein mekabim schar. Ve'im choytim ein mekabim poronus. Lo shinut midasam. They didn't change their conduct. Atem shim zachitim tekablu schar. Ve'im chatatim tekablu poronus. Alachas kama v'kama. So what should we learn from Shemayim Ba'aret? We have here again the Kavah Chomer. Shemayim Ba'aret do not get schar ve'oinesh. And they listen to Hashem. How much more so we also. But let's look carefully. What should I learn from Shemayim Ba'aret? To listen to Hashem? No. More than that. Lo mishanos, not to change. Meaning, there's two dargas in our Avodas Hashem. We'll call it now from now on level one and level two. Level one says, listen to Hashem. You gotta listen to Hashem. Level two says, the quality. Are you gonna do it with zrizus? Are you gonna do it with enthusiasm? Are you gonna do it day in, day out? That's level two. What they already agree, I'm gonna listen to Hashem. Yeah, I'm a firm Jew, I'm gonna listen to Hashem. How am I gonna listen? Level two. How many of them will be day in, day out? Will I be consistent? Will I do it always, even in the moon, even when I'm not in the moon? That's another madriga of lo lishanos. Rashi says a few times in Aaron HaKohen, melamed shelo shina. Not only that Aaron HaKohen did what he was told, that's pasher. Lo shina, he didn't change. My father, someone told me that he was at the Levaya of Rabban Kotler in the early 60s. And it made a big rush, but I heard it from my father that the Satmar Rebbe was maspid Rabban Kotler. And you know what the Satmar Rebbe said to Rabban? And it made such a rush. Aaron, melamed shelo shina. The Satmar Rebbe, that his whole, what he represented is not to change. His whole goal was, even though we came to America, we're going to keep on what we always were. And he's saying on Rabban Kotler, melamed shelo shina. He quoted that Rashi on Aaron HaKohen. He said it on Rabban Kotler. But the idea behind it is, the Satmar Rebbe is not saying on Rabban Kotler he's a firm Jew. He's saying it in something a lot more than that. He's lo shina. That's level two. Once I agree to listen to Hashem, how do I listen? And regarding that, that's what I learned from Shemayim Ba'aretz. Not to listen, but not to change. Lo l'shanos. I would like to suggest, here, the yardstick will be schar v'onesh. When you're dealing on level two, the yardstick will be schar v'onesh. Why? Because what's level two? Not only to listen, but how to listen. The quality. Schar v'onesh takes that into account. Schar v'onesh is not given if you do or don't do. Rather, schar v'onesh is given how you do. Which mission am I referring to, Rabbi Stein Pirkei Avos? Lefum, Sarah, Agra. Two people can learn the same Daf Gemara, exactly in Daf Yomi. They're going to the same shir, and they get different schars. According to the pain is the gain. So what does that show? That the schar is not just given if you do the job or you don't do the job. Rather, the schar is given on how you do the job. And if someone had a tough time learning the Daf, and nevertheless he did it, and someone else just breezed through it and did it, the first one will get more schar. Because the schar is not given on the way we have it to in our world today, on the finished product. Rather, the schar is given on how much effort was invested, how many struggles did you have to go through. Schar is given on level two also. The same stuff applies also to the punishment. The Gemara Menachah says in Daf Mandala that even in the days of the Gemara that they did have chalef, it was much harder to reach to buy chalef than to buy chutim of Lavan. The Gemara says, "Gadola mevatel on shol shel Lavan mi'amevatel chalef." If you didn't buy strings of white, you're going to be punished more severely than if someone didn't buy the strings of chalef. Hi, they're both part of the same mitzvah of the Ephesus. Yeah, but it's so easy to get Lavan. So why did you get Lavan? Chalef, I understand, it's a little bit difficult. So the punishment and the reward, if we take those two sources of Chazal, are showing to us that the punishment and reward is not given only if you did or didn't do. Rather, let's look into the story here. How was it done? Or how was the Avera done? If two people get angry, they did an Avera of getting angry, but one is ill-tempered, and it's almost impossible for him to control himself. The other one doesn't have such a temper, and yet got angry. Who do you think will be punished more, the first or the second? The second! You could have controlled yourself easier. So the schar v'onesh takes into account not only doing, but level two, how to do. And since we want to learn from the Shemayim v'aretz, not only to do, but how to do, level two, here Rashi uses the yardstick of schar v'onesh. Schar v'onesh is an incentive, not only if you're doing it, you know, why should I do it good? Why should I do it not just to do it, but do it with all the geshmakai? Why? What will be my incentive for that? That's schar v'onesh. Because schar v'onesh is used not only in the level one, but also on level two. Taking that into mind, now let's go back to Rashi and Parshas Hazino. The last question we said was, why did Rashi point out that they hit it twice? The Aver would have been the same if they hit it once. True. But there's one thing here though. The Jewish people are not aware that Moshe Rabbeinu was told X and he did Y. They were not aware that he was said to speak and instead of he hit. But what do they see? The rock produced the water only the second time. The first time what came out? Drops. The second time came out? Water. Now if I'm going to take this rock as my role model, it's a terrible message vis-a-vis level 2. Level 1 is okay. The rock did Rasa Nashat. Yeah, it did it. It was supposed to produce water. It produced water by the millions. But when? The second time. So vis-a-vis Zvizus, what am I going to learn from this rock? Vis-a-vis do what you're told and don't change, what am I going to learn? No. You know, if you remember guys when you were in yeshivas, how they would wake us up in the morning? Let's say davening's at 7 o'clock. So 6:35 is the first round, knocking on the door, and then 6:45 is the second round. When should I get out of bed if I'm going to use the rock as my model? The first time or the second time? 6:35 or 6:45? 6:45. Just the rock, give the water only the second time. No, but it gave drops the first time. Okay, also 6:35, I'll do something else. I'll turn around in my bed also. From the left side to the right side, from the right side to the left side. So I'm not going to get out of bed. It's a terrible message. Vis-a-vis level two, there's a terrible damage being caused here. You're teaching the Jewish people that you don't need zvizus. You're teaching the Jewish people that you do Dvar Hashem the second time around, not the first time. So the rock did bless in Hashem, but only the second time. The first time it produced only drops. That's what the focus is in Parshas Hazino, on level two. So let's go through the questions. Why does Rashi point out that they hit it twice? That's what the focus is. The posting of Parshas Hazino doesn't just mention you didn't do Kiddush Hashem. Rather, you caused a damage. What damage is it? That even though the Jewish people did not know what happened behind the scenes, but there's a tremendous damage vis-a-vis level 2. Right? Nahon, that's what Rashi points out, that they hit the rock twice. What was the other question? Why do you say Gadim Nim Olbi? You caused the damage. We don't know what happened behind the scenes. We don't. But we see that it produced only the second time. And when I'm speaking on level 2, that I saw in Rashi Parshas Nisavim, which Kavah Chomer will I use? Chav Oynish. Because Chav Oynish is geared to level 2. Right? It's not only to do, but how to do. That's what Rashi in Parshas Hazinu uses the Kavah Chomer of Chav Oynish. Like he used in the Parshas Nisavim by Shemayim Ba'aretz. When I want to give an incentive not just to do, but how to do. Not for level 1, but level 2. Here I'm going to use the Kavah Chomer of Schar V'Onesh, which is the yardstick for level 2. Rashi in Parshas Chukas, the pasuk speaking about level 1, it's not going into the fine on how. Just if you were spoken to the rock, and the rock would have given water immediately, the Jewish people would have learned, you got to listen to God. To listen to Hashem. That's what the pasuk is saying. Therefore, it doesn't say in our Parsha, Ma'altim, that you caused damage. Rather, what does it say? You didn't do Kiddush Hashem. You could have done it better, but not that you caused anything wrong. If that is the case, here Rashi will use a Kavah Chomer of Eino Medaber, Eino Shomea, Eino Tzatzo Panasa. Why? Because this is far. If you're dealing with me, which is one in front of my eyes, listen to Hashem. So if I want to tell you to listen to Hashem, of course it's much more basic and much more direct to say, hey, the rock doesn't have ears and listens to Hashem. You that you have ears, how much more so? I don't have to go to Gan Eden and Elam Haba to bring up this point. It's here in Elam Haba. Listen to Hashem. A rock doesn't have brains and it listens to Hashem. You that you have brains, how much more so you should listen to Hashem? A rock doesn't eat breakfast, lunch, and supper and listens to Hashem. How much more so you should? If you're dealing on level one, I don't have to go to the mysterious, mystical Schar V'Onesh concept. It's down here, down to earth. Listen to Hashem from a rock. Iraq listens, you should listen. Why should I learn from Iraq? Because Iraq doesn't have brains and it listens. You that have brains, how much more so? When you're dealing on level one, the Kavachoma will be a basic one. Enu Medaber, the Enu Shamea, the Enu Tzotla Panasa. But since Rashi and Pashas Azizino is dealing on level two is a more sophisticated concept, not only to listen, but to listen in the qualitative way. Here Rashi will use the Kavachoma of Tzchav Onesh, which has to do with the qualitative way. Now, everybody say, I see your faces. Now, what do your faces say? I'll tell you what it says. Shkoyach. You know what a shkoyach means? Thank you. You know, when you say a vetera, sometimes you finish the vetera and people tell you at the Shabbos table, shkoyach, please stop this up. So what does that mean? Okay, you know, we have to say a vetera at the table, and we felt a little bit guilty that we're just speaking rubbish. Shkoyach. But when you say a vetera, it shouldn't be only shkoyach. It should be because that's what Torah is. Torah is not only shkoyach. Torah is gevaldik. And I want to upgrade what I'm saying now from shkoyach to psh. I'll tell you how. At this stage of the game, what does it sound? Rashi and Chukas are speaking about the level one. Rashi and Azina are speaking about level two. Yeah, I see it in the Psukim. And level one is the Kavachomer, is a more basic one. So the Kavachomer is the Meinu Medaber, Bein Shemaya, Bein Asuk Panaza. Rashi and Pashas Azina are speaking in level two. And after the Kavachomer is Chava Onesh, like he said by Shemaya Varez. Shkoyach. Can I make a Shvua? You should make a Shvua, but could I make a Shvua? That's what Rashi really meant. Yeah, 100% convinced that Rashi hears level one, Rashi hears level two. Maybe. It sounds pretty good. I want to show you one little word that Rashi added in Parshas Hazinu, which he did not add in Parshas Chukas, which will upgrade the void from Shkoyach to Psh. I want to show you. Let me show you. You don't have a Chumash in front of you, Rabbi Sai, so I'm going to read to you the lesson of Rashi. Rashi by us, when he said the Kal Vachomer, he said, Magdisheni, Sheilu dibartim el asela v'hoitzi. Again, in this week's Pasha, Perek Chaf, Pasuk Yudbeis, chapter 20, verse 12. She'ilu dibartim el asela v'hoitzi, hayiti mekudesh le'ein ha'ida. I would have been sanctified in front of the eyes of the people. For Oymen, they would have said, Ma'asel azeh she'enu medaber, ve'enu shemea, ve'enu tzorech l'panasa. This rock, which doesn't have these three. The next word of Rashi, after he spelled out the Kal Vachomer, is, Mekayim dibur shel makom. What does that mean in English? Okay. Fulfills the Rasan of Makam. Very good. What does Rashi say in Azinu after he said the Kal Vachomer? Rashi said again, Azinu was speaking about Perek in Dvarim, Perek Lamed Bet, Pasuk Nun Aleph. Over there he said, Uma Selazeh, She'enu Leschav Elo Leporanus, Im Zacha Eno Makam Scha, Im Chota Eno Leke. You know what Rashi says here? Kach Mekayim Mitzvah. Over here he said, Mekayim Mitzvah. He added one little word in Pashas Hazinu, kach. Instead of mekayin, he said kach mekayin. What does the word kach mean? How? Look how he did it. What is kach? How would you translate kach in English?
So.
So he did it. Look how he. The word kach is coming to answer a question. How? Kach the kach. You know, Moshe Chazal many times. Kach v'kach. Rashi and Pashas Hazinu said, after he introduced his Kal Vachomer, when he came over to the moral lesson, he said, kach mekayim.
That's the way.
The way he did it. And Rashi and Chukas is saying, mekayim, not kach mekayim. It's a little word, only two letters. But it tells you the whole issue. Rashi and Chukas is not speaking on how. Rather, that's the way. Do it. Rashi and Hazinu is saying how. Therefore, Rashi over there added the word kach. What do you say? Now, what is it? Now you can even make a shua. You shouldn't make a shua. But now, hey, why do you add the word kach, Hazinu, and then added by Chukas? Why? Rashi, every word. The Orach HaZachar Marosh says, in Chumash Rashi, you should medayek as much as you could. Here, in Chukas, he says mekayim, and in Pashas Hazinu, he says kach mekayim, which shows be'etzba. Then in Parshas Chukas Rashi is speaking about doing, and in Parshas Hazinu Rashi is speaking about how to do. If you have more time at your Shabbos table, I'm going to leave this open. You're going to see another difference, which will be explained according to what we're saying. That Rashi by us says after the word mekayim, what does Rashi say by us in Parshas Chukas? So he says mekayim. What? No, close. But what does Rashi say? Mekayim Diburoi.
You're right. Shel Makom.
The Dibur of Makom. What does Rashi say in Azino? Kach Mekayim Mitzvas Boro. Like, I come from America.
Very interesting.
Right? Here he says, Mekayim Diburoi Shel Makom. Here he says, Kach Mekayim, not Dibur, rather Mitzvas Boro. The commandment of his creator. And Rashi in Hukas said, not Mitzvas Boro, rather Diburoi Shel Makom. Think about it. Now we're already entering the chant in the later stages of the meal. Think about it, you'll see. It's very meduyak, according to what we learned today. The Rashi in Chukas is speaking about to do. The Rashi in Parshas Hazino is speaking about how to do. And why should I do? Why should I excel in level two? Why? Level one, I understand. There's a God, I gotta listen to him. But why be perfect? Why do it in such a great way? Once you figure out that, Neguda, in Mitzvah Hashem, you understand also why here Rashi says, Mitzvahs Boro in Hazino, and Rashi in Chukas says, Diburoi Shel Makom.